Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Championship game for the first time since 1988.
Kick was down the middle and good. 49ers win it.
30 yards to win the game. Matt Gape boots it through. And the Rams, by the hair of their skinny teeth deep,
look it to the end zone
for the win. He caught it. Ball game. Chiefs.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
What a weekend. Oh my goodness. Maybe the greatest football weekend of all time. And all I know is I wake up on a snowy Monday with my friend Jonathan Hood. Welcome into Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. And the Packers are out. Aaron had to shuffle his way off the field. And all those fans at Lambeau, take that. That was awesome.
Indeed, it was a great NFL weekend. That is much better than what we saw last weekend. That's what you want. When you talk about the postseason, Cap, that's exactly what you want. You want to have thrilling action. And we got that in all four games this weekend.
It was so amazing to sit there and watch just an incredible weekend of football. Every game coming down to walk-off fashion. Tom Brady's getting destroyed, and you just never count the GOAT out. Never count him out, but the whole weekend itself, Hoodie, to just sit there and watch all of it and realize that we're going to have two great, hopeful AFC-NFC title games and a good Super Bowl. I don't think you can top what we saw this weekend, but the bottom line is it may have opened the door for our beloved orange and blue Chicago Bears to make a statement in the division if indeed Jerky Boy up in Green Bay decides to move on.
Well, you know, as we get to that, I just want to say, based on what we saw over this weekend, Cap, sports in general is the most fun when it's unpredictable. You can bet it, you can guess, you can read about it, you can hear all the analysis on the TV and radio shows, but there's nothing like postseason football on the field. That's what it comes down to, right? You feel like you think you know, and then you see the games. And when you get four fantastic finishes like we got over the weekend, that is the essence of playoff football. That's exactly what we got. And then from Green Bay standpoint on Saturday. So Aaron Rodgers, I think it's pretty clear now that Aaron Rodgers is a fantastic regular season quarterback. Mm-hmm. You don't take the Super Bowl away from him because he's accomplished as much as Brett Favre did in Green Bay regarding winning a Super Bowl. But I think it's pretty clear that the best thing that's on Aaron Rodgers' resume after the one Super Bowl victory is beating the NFC North. And that's great. You beat the Bears. Well, who don't? Who doesn't beat the Bears, right? Who didn't beat the Lions? Who didn't beat the Vikings? But the point is that in the biggest spot, oh, you know, the conditions are right up the Packers' alley. That's Packer football because the weather and the snow. They got San Francisco exactly where they want them. You got warm weather San Francisco traveling to Green Bay. Man, they got them by the short and curlies now. Yeah, no shot. Doesn't matter if it's in Lambeau. Doesn't matter if it's snowing. San Francisco find a way to win that football game. And here is Aaron Rodgers, the great Aaron Rodgers, who very well could be MVP. Again, regular season award. Still, at home, your conditions, big spot. Once again, Aaron Rodgers couldn't get it done. So, first ballot Hall of Famer, more likely MVP, great regular season quarterback. But here's the point. You're measured by Lombardis. He's got one and hadn't seen one in a long time. That Lombardi's got a lot of cobwebs on it for all the years that he's been away from the Super Bowl. It's just not happening for him as other young quarterbacks are passing Aaron Rodgers by. Period.
So, and very well said. So, Aaron Rodgers has won as many NFC title games as Rex Grossman.
Yep.
Let me say that again. Aaron Rodgers, great talent, has won as many NFC title games as Rex is our quarterback. That is unbelievable. Between Favre and Rodgers, they've had what? 31, 32 years of top 10 of all-time quarterback play. They will have each won one.
Yeah.
Hey, Super Bowl.
Don't take anything away from it, but you've had... Here's the thing. If you're a Packer fan this morning, and I take pleasure in this because... The Bears and the Packers have been a rival for a long time. The Packers talk a lot of crap, and rightfully so. They should be able to walk all over us and talk about how bad the Bears are. You have every right. Mm-hmm. But just understand something. Just like the LeBron James situation in Los Angeles where he has full autonomy on the roster, mm-hmm. Well, so did Aaron Rodgers this offseason. Come in when you want to. Don't practice with the team when you want to. Decide, oh, at the last minute, yeah, I'm going to play with the team. You move heaven and earth on the salary cap to make sure that everything's in place. Everything Aaron wanted is right there on the team. And you still lost? Again, once again, an example. Do not let a star player tell you what to do with your roster. Gutekunst was able to genuflect at the altar of Aaron Rodgers. Whatever you need, Aaron, we just want you around. Yeah, I think I'm going to go to Jeopardy. No, don't do that. Hey, well, just come back in the fall with us. You know what? Let's have a conversation. And they had a conversation, and now they are on the same page. And they did everything for that guy. Everything, and still lost. So, once again, Aaron Rodgers, during the summer, with McAfee, different outlets, he'll be bitching about the Packers, what he didn't get, what's wrong with the organization. How about the mirror? How about that? Why don't you look in the mirror? All that falls at his feet. You knew coming in that your special teams wasn't very good. That's clear. But ultimately, we look at Aaron Rodgers as a loser this morning because everything they asked for, he said, I want to do this. I want to do this. Okay, Aaron, whatever. And you still lost. So if I'm the Packers this morning, I'm like, if he wants to leave, leave. I don't want to be part of a rebuild. Who are you? We know that you're the face of the team, but what are you doing to make the team better? You're getting it done the regular season. How about the postseason, Cap? How about that?
Can't get it done.
Eh.
Last year, NFC title game at home. See you later. See you later. This year, you get a bye, and then you lose your first game at home in those conditions?
Yep.
Wow. Wow. 312-332-3776. An amazing, amazing weekend of NFL football.
I know you're watching this. I'm sure you're watching it the way I watch it, Cap. And you're like, when you see like Buffalo and Kansas City race up and down the field with that offense as quickly as they were scoring, and it takes like three or four games for the Bears to do that. I mean, that's what we're talking about. That's what we are talking about every morning during Bear season. We want that at a chance offensively. 42-36. There's no shot the Bears can do that, even in a couple games.
Yeah, I don't even need that. I don't.
I do. Because you know why? Because that's where we are today. But like when you say, I don't care if it's an offense or a defensive coach, just give me the right coach. I think that's the right mindset. But if it's a defensive coach without an offensive identity, then you won't be able to catch up with Kansas City.
That's different.
Or Cincinnati.
But Sean McDermott, I think, is a hell of a football coach. I disagreed with his decision to kick deep with 13 seconds left. But he's turned the culture around in Buffalo. Changed the culture in Buffalo. He was a defensive coordinator of the Panthers. So I'm all in. Just get the right guy. I don't need to win 42-36.
I do. I want my team to have a chance. I want the Bears' offense to be in the top 10. Is that too much to ask?
Okay, last year you went to the Super Bowl and the conditions weren't horrific. Wasn't like Saturday night. And guess what? The offense couldn't get anything done because Tampa's defense won the football game.
Yep.
So, wait. But Tampa's defense won the football game because the Chiefs' offensive tackles had been injured the week before when they beat the Bills.
It still was not going to be 42. I don't need 42-36. I don't.
You don't need it, but you might need it if you want to win a Super Bowl. Didn't last night's game feel like that was the real Super Bowl winner, whoever was coming out of that one? Listen, I may be proven wrong. I'll ride with the Chiefs, or if the Bills had come out of that, I think last night's game was the Lombardi Trophy winner. You guys disagree?
No, I think that's fair. That's fair to say. All I know is that if you think that you're going to run an offense like 1991, that's not happening. You have to be able to get the ball in the air.
I'm not saying 1991. You have to be able to throw the ball. I don't disagree. I'm just telling you, I don't think it has to be. I mean, the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and it'll be three now. February of 19, 13-3. I mean,
no.
Denver won 24-10. I mean, I'm not telling you got to win the thing 10-3. But I don't think you have to be able to go 42-36. Yeah. You don't.
I don't.
The weaponry
is
insane in Kansas City.
Yeah. I do not want to see below average offense anymore on this football
team. I'm not saying there's two different things here. 42-36. You get me 24 points a game. Yes, I'm good. I think you can win and then have days where you explode.
Not with this defense. You need more than 24 points with this defense on the other side. You want 24 points with Eddie Jackson on the other side? That's my point. It's like, you're not going to score 42 points a game in this league. I get that. I want the penchant and the ability to do that if you need to. A quarterback that can get the ball in the air, to have multiple weapons. That's what I mean.
Do we have that guy already?
Well, no.
You don't think so?
The Bears?
You don't think Justin can be a top 10 quarterback?
Not without weapons.
Agree there. You got to get weapons.
Weapons. Like on the surface, Cap, I would tell you, yeah, I think he has the ability to do that, but not by himself. Right?
Definitely not by himself, yeah. And he has to be coached better.
Yeah,
he just has to be. That's just a fact. 312-332-3776. Was this the best weekend in NFL history? Plus, did we see the best game of all time? In the final of the four, last night, Buffalo and Kansas City. Next.
Take that.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You got a chip on the edge with Ingram. Have him come up on the inside. Some of these guys.
Allen fires it. It's a wide open. Touchdown, Buffalo, Davis again. Down the middle. It's Hill in the open. Cuts it upfield. He might be gone. He is. Kansas City takes the lead with a minute to go from 64 incredible yards.
17 seconds.
Down the middle to the end zone. Touchdown number four on the night for Davis.
So hundreds of thousands around the planet.
The kick is good. It's going to overtime.
Looking to the end zone
for the win. He caught it. Ball game. Chiefs to the championship game.
What an amazing, amazing weekend. I mean, just incredible. And the cherry on top of the sundae was last night getting bonus football after Buffalo could not, in 13 seconds, keep Kansas City from driving 44 yards to set up Harrison Butker to tie the game, get it to OT, coin toss. And then they drive all the way down the field. Touchdown, Travis Kelce from Patrick Mahomes. And it is over. So was it the best weekend in NFL history, Hoodie?
Well, I don't know if it was the best one. I mean, I have to be able to look at all the weekends. But I just know it's one of the more memorable ones, that's for sure. And you think about what we heard there with the Bills and the Chiefs, 25 points scored in the last 2 minutes. And the Bills just can't beat the Chiefs in the postseason. I know you got to burn your ticket now, pal, because you had the Bills going to the Super Bowl. But the Bills just can't get past the Chiefs. I mean, McDermott, the head coach for the Bills, 0-4 on the road in playoff games. But I just want to – I know the Chiefs won, but I just want to give a shout-out to Josh Allen because the arrow is pointing up big time for him. 11 touchdowns, no interceptions in the postseason. He did everything he could to help the Bills win that game. But yet the defense let down at the most unopportune time. And again, if you're Josh Allen, you feel bad about the loss, but look at what he did. Look at how dynamic he was offensively. What a great shootout between Mahomes and Allen.
It was incredible. Incredible. So I went back and looked up the scouting report because never forget, Buffalo traded the pick to Kansas City so they could take Patrick Mahomes. The owners, the Pegula family, they had told their people, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, hey, we want Patrick Mahomes. Take him at number 10. They didn't have Josh Allen. He wasn't in that draft.
Right.
And they said, no, we're going to trade the pick to Kansas City, get an extra pick or whatever it is they got. Kansas City gets Patrick Mahomes, and then the next year they drafted Josh Allen. I went back and looked at the scouting report. Doesn't have good accuracy, erratic, runs well, big, strong, doesn't really move the needle in terms of locked in as a pocket passer. I guess that's changed.
Yeah, well, look, he comes out of Wyoming, and you don't expect a lot, right?
Yep.
But then you see a guy that can run with the football, also has an accurate deep ball arm, right? He does so many things well. We haven't even seen the best of him just as of yet, Cap. We haven't even seen the best. But if you're Buffalo, yeah, you know Bills Mafia, they are struggling this morning. You're like, oh, man, we thought we had him this time. But McDermott has got to get his team in a position to win on the road, right? It's almost like you go to Kansas City. It's a tough place to play, but the Buffalo had him. They had him.
He had him in position.
But give Kansas City credit. This is why these shows that is over our shoulder every morning, these get-ups and these first takes and all these shows, right? I know they got need stuff to talk about, right? I know they got to manufacture and come up with things to talk about. But the idea that in the middle of the season, we had topics of Mahomes is done, Mahomes is washed, this is over, right? The dynasty's over. Give that kid a chance, man. You're going to go through some growing pains. Doesn't matter how good you are, there's going to be an ebb and flow to your career. Mm-hmm. And so everything can't be 17-0. Like Mahomes is already has staked his claim as one of the best quarterbacks that we have in the National Football League, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just love our people who's trying to already dash his chances to win another Super Bowl or to be able to be good again. Kansas City's still good. I mean, he got so many weapons.
It's unbelievable.
So let's stop trying to close the book on young quarterbacks when they don't win 10 games in a row.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. Well said.
Just watch the games.
We're going to the phones. I just want to read you something a friend of mine just sent me. At the end of regulation, Travis Kelce wanted to run his route into an open space instead of what was actually the play call. He told Mahomes this. Then to have Mahomes yell at the line of scrimmage as he was making his calls during his cadence. Do it! Do it! Kelce nodded. Bingo. How about that? I mean, that's just two guys. Like, that's next level.
Yeah.
As this guy wrote. Next level.
And indefensible in many ways. When you have two guys who are locked in like that, you can't defend that.
Right.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and talk to you.
All right, let's go to John in Naperville. He's first. Hey, John, what's up, buddy?
What's up, boys? Good morning. Happy Monday. What a great weekend for some football, huh?
Incredible.
So just a little recap of the weekend. I don't know. I know most of you guys are parents except for Hoodie. Have you guys ever dealt with a colicky baby or a baby that has colic?
Yes.
Okay, you know how rough it is. So shout out to Grandma for coming over and saving my weekend. Shout out to Grandmas everywhere for coming through. So I might have had a worse beat than Aaron Rodgers. So just quick story. Wake up on Saturday at like 10 o'clock because Grandma comes over. She takes the baby, lets me get a little bit of extra rest in. Huge. Wake up Saturday, trying to get psyched for the playoffs, put a little eight-leg parlay in. I go, it's plus $28,500. I go hit it for 7 for 8. Miss it by 1 over/under.
Crazy.
Absolutely dreadful.
Well, John, have a great day, man. Appreciate you listening to the show. Let's go to Marcus in Minneapolis. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys.
Marcus, darling.
My man, Jay Hood. I was actually calling, man. That kind of statement that you gave about Aaron Rodgers earlier, I swear it's like you were reading my mind. I was thinking, I don't want to overreact because I always said Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback in the league. Maybe Mahomes will trump him. Maybe he already has. But I was thinking, seeing this weekend, I was like, is Aaron Rodgers a product of just playing in the NFC North all these years? Because how do you – like, every year they have a great record. They beat up on the NFC North teams. And then they lose in the playoffs. Like, he loses the first game of the playoffs. Like, how is this happening every year? He looks completely different against other teams than he does against the Lions or the Vikings or the Bears. So I'm thinking now, like, I don't want to say he's overrated. Like, even Peyton Manning, right? We called him a regular season quarterback because he didn't win in the playoffs. But he still made it to the AFC championships and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, Aaron Rodgers, I can't think off the top of my head.
Well, he lost the NFC title game last year.
He beat
the Bears in an NFC title game to go to the Super Bowl, and they won it.
They got trounced by the Niners, remember, a couple years ago when the Niners went to the Super Bowl. They also lost to the Seattle Seahawks when the Seahawks recovered an onside kick famously. I think he's lost like 3 or 4 NFC title games.
Yeah.
So he's been a 3 or 4 then?
Yes.
I mean, that's a decent number, but still, you would think, I don't know, just the records they have every year, they always have a great record, and then they just always flop.
Well, yeah,
appreciate the call, buddy. Guys.
That's because Rodgers is a step below. You don't take the championship away from him because he's a Super Bowl champion. But when it counts in recent vintage, he hasn't been able to get it done. They're a regular season team. If I'm a Packer fan, I'm pissed because you've been here before, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, man, we beat the Bears. Well, who doesn't? Like, you beat the Bears. You beat everyone else in the
Lions,
NFC North. That's fine.
Vikings.
Fine. You beat the NFC North. But when it counts in the postseason in big spots, he can't get it done. Period. So the Packers have a really big question on their hands on Rodgers. If he comes back, if he does come back, then what does the team look like? Can you finally win another one with Rodgers?
They're $45 million over the cap. Over.
And why do you think that is? Because of him.
Well, he's making his salary for next year if they keep him on this contract. They're probably going to restructure if they keep him. I think he makes next year's hits $46.1 million.
I will add two guys. Did you guys happen to catch the All-22 of the play when Aaron Rodgers and the Packers had the ball and he threw it up to Devontae Adams down the field, about 40, 50 yards down the field. Mm-hmm. Devontae Adams was double covered. It looked like he might make a play on that, but if you watch as the play unfolds, Alan Lazard
wide open,
crossing over the middle about 30 yards, and if Aaron Rodgers sees him, there's no doubt that he connects and puts them at least in field goal position mm-hmm. before the Niners had gone on to kick their field goal. So, yeah, like for all the great bouquets he gets for how good he just is, he missed that critical play when it meant the most to the Packers.
Yeah. I mean, again, MVP more than likely. More than likely MVP. And by the way, Cooper Kupp should be in that top 5 too, by the way. He won't win it, but he should at least be in the top 5.
Yeah, he had a great year. Massive year. Let's go to Dan in Elmhurst. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how are you?
What's up?
Hi, Dan.
I got a couple points. Hey, I'm a Packers fan, and you're right. Rodgers just can't get it done. He's a California boy who's kind of strange, and the fans are getting all sick of the drama. And then he gets engaged, dates, whatever, somebody who's kind of out there. But the other major thing is part of that loss is on the coaching staff, and I'll tell you why. Because when your special team stinks, ranked 32nd, and you don't address it before the playoffs, as the Bears know with Cody Parkey, they don't address it, that's going to cost you. And just one other point that I wanted to make, you know, when you're talking about Rodgers, you know, whining and moaning and that he wanted to have some say in picks and moves that the franchise was making. If you recall, the Bears let Jay Cutler, who in my book was a Packer MVP, fit in on the pick of the next coach when they were interviewing. So until the Bears sell the franchise and the McCaskies get rid of it, you guys...
Jay Cutler didn't have any say on who the next coach was going to be.
Cutler was in the interviews, if you recall.
He was talking offensive coordinators. I do not believe he was in on any of the interviews for the head coach.
Okay, offensive coordinator, and you're talking about a guy who never won a playoff game. Until the Bears, until the McCaskies sell the franchise, good luck. They're just terrible. And Ted Phillips should be thrown out of Hallis Hall. He's just terrible.
Dan, thanks, man. Appreciate the call. 312-332-3776. Phone lines are hopping. Does the NFL officially now belong to Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen? Think Brady Manning. 312-332-3776. Your calls on this amazing NFL weekend. What'd you think of it? Next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on at 7:34. Hope you're on your first cup of coffee, maybe your second cup, maybe you're a little bit of a tea person, but just sit back and relax. Snow's coming down, and Green Bay is out. Take that, Packers. Does the NFL officially belong, though, to Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen? 312-332-3776. Let's go to Dean downtown. Hey, Dean.
Good morning, boys. Shout out to the exhausted Dan Zetterman. Will JR get that guy a copy?
Well, that's the hope, right, Dean?
I hope so. The poor guy was eating his breakfast when I called him on Thursday. He's just exhausted these days. Normally, I would wait until after shot or no shot to grace you with my presence, but I could not retain my excitement and my urge to speak with the cheeky Jeff Meller and company.
Uh-huh.
Definitely best round of the playoffs I've seen, and the best game in particular by far. Got a couple of notes for you guys. And that Titans game, forget that you don't go for two unless you absolutely need to, like Esiason was saying. But you never give up an opportunity to take the lead. You don't give up an opportunity to take the lead. You know, you don't think there's been games that have ended 7-6 in this league. So I love Mike Vrabel. I think that he's an extension of that team, and he's tough as nails. I think if I were a player, I'd love to play for a guy like him.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a bit stubborn, not running the ball enough, I think, and putting the ball in Tannehill's hands. So that was my first point. And the best thing I saw all weekend, guys, by far, was the little man Tyreek Hill chunking up the deuces to a linebacker that was ahead of him.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you, Dean.
He's fired up this
morning.
He's
the greatest.
Hey, you know, shout out to Cincinnati. 9 sacks on Burrow. 9 sacks, and he's able to win that ball game. Tennessee with Derrick Henry, as great as Derrick Henry is, 20 carries, good for 62 yards. I expected more, actually. I expected more.
Yeah, coming off the surgery to put a pin in there and whatever else. I mean, boy, not to play, and then here we go.
I get it. He did score a touchdown, too. But hats off to Joe Burrow, though, right?
Can you believe that Cincinnati rolled in here with all those weapons? Joe Burrow played. It wasn't like he was out. And the Bears beat them.
Oh, sure. Wasn't ready to win yet. Wasn't ready to win. But look at him now, though.
Look at him now.
Burrow looks the part. He's cocky. He's not cocky. He's convinced that his team's good.
Right? Crazy.
Hell comes to breakfast coming up in the conference championship. But the point is, though, is that they beat Tennessee on the road. Big spot.
Big spot. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Wally in Evergreen Park. Wally, what's up down south, kid?
Man, I love your guys' show.
Thank you.
Listen to you every day.
Thank you, Wally. Yeah, he's talking to me. Go ahead.
I don't know if it was just me, but it seems like Aaron Rodgers, he just wasn't in that game at all. I mean, he seems like he's in another world at the time. And on the second thing, because I'll make it quick, I know you got a lot of callers, but I think the Bears need a GM that likes to draft good offensive and defensive linemen like Jim Finks did back in the day. I used to be a season ticket holder.
Well said. That's one of, and thanks for the call, Wally. Have a great week, man.
Thank you, Wally.
That's one of my biggest disappointments with the Ryan Pace era. And I know he took James Daniels, who's highly regarded. He's going to be a free agent. He's going to get paid. Daniels in the second. Cody Whitehair in the second. And then Tevin Jenkins. I don't believe he took any other linemen first or second round. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think that's right.
So there wasn't enough of a commitment. Like Jermaine Ifedi, a washout in Cincinnati. Okay. You know, Mustafa is an undrafted guy. He's okay. I want some top-level linemen.
Yeah.
Protect my kid back there, and then let's go spend some money in free agency and get a receiver.
Yeah, protect your greatest asset in Justin Fields or whoever's back there, right?
I want to know if he's...
Yeah.
I tweeted yesterday, can we please have one of these quarterbacks? A guy like this, some people got it. I'm not saying Justin isn't that guy. Mm-hmm. I hope he is. I haven't seen it yet. I want to see that. But can we please, please, please protect him, give him some weapons, hire the right coach, the right personnel people, and at the end of the day, if he's not the guy, acknowledge it and move on. But I think if you surround him with the right amount of talent, I think he can be more than serviceable to win with.
Yes, it's about trying to find players that can extend plays outside of that all weekend long where you have difference makers at the wide receiver spot, difference makers at the tight end, protection for the quarterback. Even when the protection collapsed on Tom Brady and Joe Burrow, still those guys were able to make plays. It shouldn't be, well, the pocket collapsed, and so now you can't make any plays. Now it's just, you know, third and long, second and long. That's not. I just want the Bears to be able to keep to stick with the Joneses offensively and get the ball down the field. It shouldn't just be once a half or maybe once a quarter. I want the Bears to be able to do what they can do offensively, just like we saw here in the playoffs. That's top shelf. That's next level offense. That's all I've been saying. I would tell you this all the time. It's like you and I watch the Bears, 12-325, lousy football. We get home, we watch the 325 games. Oh, God. That's real football.
Right.
Look at it. Look at the scores.
Right.
Look at how you throw the ball down the field and you get 15 more yards just for throwing a football down the field because the officials call everything, right, Cap? So That's what I want. Bears don't even do that.
Let's go back to the phones. And how about Dan out on the Edens? Hey, Dan, what's up, Sparkles?
What's going on, Cupcake?
What's going on, man? What do you got?
Turn your radio down, Dan.
Switched off of the speakerphone. Real quick, Cap, just a quick connection. I'm a graduate of NIU, so go Huskies. Thanks for your time there.
There you go.
Two things. One, from like a week or so ago, you guys have been mentioning, you haven't mentioned in a few days, Tanisha Wade being involved with this Bears search. I looked up what qualifications football-wise does she have. I don't understand the obsession with I'm all for looking outside the box and all that, but that has nothing, no football qualifications, just like George Phil or George and Ted. But that wasn't my actual reason to call. This is not a recency thing. The NFL OT rules are the worst. I get that they changed them and all that, but the whole argument of, we'll just stop them on defense, shut up. That is the dumbest meathead comment I've ever heard. If you watched the last 2 minutes of that game, how can you possibly say, just stop them on defense, when both of those defenses were absolutely gassed?
I disagree with you. I think
play
defense and get a stop. Come on, man. 13 seconds to go in the game. You cannot, under any circumstance, leave. And Leslie Frazier, I don't know what you were thinking. Travis Kelce runs to an area where he is wide ass open. Really?
I agree with you there. I agree with you there. And Romo said it at the time, so this isn't hindsight. Why not squib kick it there to burn a little time? I get that you're sacrificing some field position by squibbing it, but you're also keeping it out of the hands of their kick returner. And is the field position that you're sacrificing, isn't that counterbalanced by the 4 to 5 seconds that's going to run off the clock?
probably right.
I agree with
Dan,
thanks for the call, man.
Drive safe out there.
Thanks, guys.
I would agree with the squib kick idea.
Here's the problem with that. If you squib kick it and they quickly cover it or they get a shot and a Hail Mary, that guy, I'm talking about Mahomes, or Josh Allen, but in this case, Patrick Mahomes, his arm is strong enough, he can get it to the end zone. He can get it to the end zone, and if you get beat on a Hail Mary, the people in Buffalo would be like, what are you doing?
Sure.
Make him go 75 yards or 40-some yards and make a long kick. Make him do that. Butker's already missed a kick and an extra point. 13 seconds, it just can't happen. You can't leave the middle of the field wide open like they did.
And to answer your question about Tanisha Wade, she's there because of diversity, equity, and inclusion. She's there because she's overseeing the process. Yes, it's up to George and Ted, yes. But her qualifications is that because hiring practices are so unfair when it comes to trying to find head coaches, again, the Rooney Rule is put in place just to get in the door. It's not necessarily to get hired. It's to get in the door.
It's to create opportunity.
There shouldn't be a diversity, equity, and inclusion position, but it has to be in a lot of these companies, including teams, to be able to look in on the process. Who are you interviewing? What are you asking? And I'm sure she has questions as well as far as background that maybe some of the CEOs, general managers, and owners wouldn't ask. So that's why it's not just Tanisha. All across the league, there's people that are in DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, to be part of the process.
Every major company has that.
Got to have it. We have to have it.
I'll be, again, it's George and Ted. I'll be stunned if after the fact we find out she's asking about, well, tell me about the offense you run and tell me about how you utilize third and seven. Are you this? Is your philosophy that? What type of a defensive structure are you? I'll be shocked.
Well, if she's asking those questions, you shouldn't be surprised in that room.
But because of who it is.
Well, just
not them.
Well, yeah, exactly. George and Ted would miss that, but Tanisha would be like, yeah, I've seen some football. Let me ask you your thoughts on offense. It's George and Ted. They wouldn't know how to ask that.
Correct.
Only her and Soup would know, and Polian.
Correct. And Soup he played a year in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as though he doesn't understand the sport. He did play at the highest level, albeit for a year. I understand how the whole process works, period. But yesterday, the New York Giants, they interviewed, I'm trying to remember which candidate was yesterday. It was either Dan Quinn or one of the others. Their interview was Joe Shane, the new GM, and two of the Mara family, I believe. And that was it. So different franchises do it different ways. The Giants do have that position in their organization.
Yes.
All your calls on the incredible NFL weekend next, plus a little Bears news from our friend Bert Breer from NFL Network and SI.com. And he's been everywhere. He's the best. We'll be right back.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Phone lines are just on fire. People loved football. And we keep, you know, a friend of mine said, I thought football was dying because of, you know, concussions or whatever. And I said, excuse me?
No. 49ers and Cowboys had 50 million people, moon landing numbers, 50 million viewers. Are you kidding me?
It's insane.
Dying.
I said they have to learn how to treat, like, when we were kids, take some smelling salt to get back on the field. Well, that's stupid. If you have a head injury, so they're learning to deal with that better. The equipment is better. All of that is trying to protect people when they play the game. Doesn't mean it's a bad game, A. B, it might be the single most team-oriented sport there is. Waddle once explained to me what you have to do to complete an 8-yard out. Center has to snap. Quarterback has to receive snap. Each blocker, he went through each thing. I have to run my precise route, and when I make my cut, the ball has to be on. It was like 15 steps to complete an 8-yard pass. So that is teamwork.
I'd like to remind everybody that an hour from now, we will give away AEW tickets. All Elite Wrestling returns to Wintrust Arena on Wednesday, February 2nd. Doors open at 5 and showtime is at 6. Tickets available at AEWTix.com. Again, AEWTix.com. But Cap and I will give away a pair every day at 8:50. So again, an hour from now, if you're a wrestling fan or you know of one, you can win tickets for someone that you love. Again, AEW coming to town to Wintrust Arena on Wednesday, February 2nd.
And Jonathan will be there, so you could take pictures with him and get an autograph. Yes, my friend loves wrestling.
Yes, you can find me in the Cap and Jay Hood booth. At Wintrust.
May I approach?
Brought to you by Aiken Law.
That's right, 3126 million for the great lawyer Howard Aiken.
Sign my ball.
I went to my father-in-law Ron Semitas of Dixon, Illinois, Hall of Fame induction. He went in for wrestling, and I said to him, "Is Hulk Hogan in the same Hall of Fame as he's in five Hall of Fames?" And he looked at me, he goes, "He's not a wrestler."
What?
I said, "Excuse me, he's the greatest wrestler of all time." He said, "No, that would be like Dan Gable." He named off three or four guys, most of whom other than Dan Gable I never heard of. He goes, "That fake stuff is not wrestling." He was so mad.
Okay. You know what? He and I have a problem now.
You have a beef.
Yes, we have a beef. You should have defended it. You should have defended me and all pro wrestling fans.
That's it.
You should have defended us.
I did. Anyway, Danny, Albert Breer, Burt Breer, our guy. He'll be on tomorrow at 7:35. And Burt Breer is all over the NFL, the coaching searches, everything that goes into the league. He has a little Bears news, huh?
That is correct, gentlemen. So Albert Breer, he's doing his Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com. He's doing his divisional round wrap-up, and he goes on to write about Ryan Poles, who works for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's the executive director of player personnel. He's 37 years old, and he's getting his second interview with the Bears. And while writing about the Bears, Breer writes, quote, "The Bears, Polian Dungy, connected candidates, Jim Caldwell, Leslie Frazier, and Colts DC Matt Eberflus have emerged as the top names in Chicago. Hiring Poles could mean changing course a little bit. Poles is close with fellow former Boston College football letterman Brian Flores, and Flores has already interviewed with the Bears, and Poles has been in touch with a number of other candidates for the Vikings and Bears jobs. Caldwell is one, Dan Quinn, Todd Bowles, and Kevin O'Connell are the others. So just like the Quinn is a big domino on the coaching side, Poles could be the next domino on the general manager side. But if you take a nugget out of that, it's that Jim Caldwell, Leslie Frazier, and Eberflus have emerged as the top names for the Bears. None of those get me excited.
Eberflus does a little bit because, boy, everything I've read about him is people feel like he's an incredible leader. Guys love playing for him. He's holds people accountable. Yesterday, Tony Dungy on the show with Maria Taylor and
Chris Sims.
Tony Dungy said, "Look, the Bears and all these different jobs." He named them all. He said, "The coach you hire is you're hiring him for the next 10 years, not next year. The next 10 years.
That's correct.
Okay, then please don't tell me we're going to have Jim Caldwell still here at 77.
Yes. Well, why not? If you have a couple of Super Bowls, you don't care how old he is.
This is true. It just that wouldn't be the hire that I would make.
That's fine. So, but don't be so ageist, man.
I'm not being ageist. Yeah. And I hope that when
if you just not say you don't want
to age, and I want to keep working, that someone goes, "No, you're too old." I get it. I just feel like that sport. That's a young man's job.
They would say sports radio is a young man's job.
That's true.
But you know what though, we keep you around.
Wow.
I'm just saying, man. You said, don't be so age. That's your age group. That's your peer. It's your guy.
I get it. I do get it.
But my point is,
it just doesn't excite me.
That's fine, Cap. But yeah, I'm end up going to be right again, and you'll forget. But I'll end up being right again once the Bears do break ground and they're in their new stadium. There'll be a new head coach. We'll have another Bears Bonanza Monday, right? They want to start off fresh with a new coach if it doesn't work out. I don't want that. I'm not rooting for that. I'm just saying that I know the Bears.
Yeah.
I want the next head coach to be around for 10 years, a couple of Super Bowls, being in the playoffs every year, just like that. Like, today should be a Bears Monday where we're talking about the Bears being in this spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I got a good feeling that by the time the Bears get in this new stadium, they'll be having another Bears bonanza looking for another head coach and GM. Maybe another head coach, not GM.
Right. Whoever the GM is, unless he's a awful like Phil Emery was.
Yes.
They can't fire him. They got to stick with him. They got to.
Yes.
Going back to that article that they made Mel Tucker run a defense he knew nothing about. They didn't let Emery fire Lovey, but then a year later let him fire Lovey. They wouldn't let Pace hire who he wanted. Instead, they made him take Fox. Then after 2 years, he wanted Fox out so they could get a fresh start with a quarterback and a coach. No, we can't do that. But then a year later, we fire him. It's just incompetent decision on top of incompetent decision by an awful management team. Let's go back to the phones. How about Jim in Lake in the Hills? Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. I wanted to say that we were talking earlier about the Bears using picks on offensive linemen, defensive linemen, which I'm totally for. But you need to have those picks in order to use them on that. And that's Ryan Pace's fault, but he definitely has, like, traded away all our picks.
That's correct.
And appreciate the call, Jim. If you're going to trade your picks, you better. I'm not talking about a sixth-round pick to get back into the fifth, given an extra six, whatever. If you're going to trade up from 11 to 9, Leonard Floyd, he better make a second contract. 3 to 2, Mitchell Trubisky, he better be that guy. He wasn't. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Like when you trade a six-round pick for Jakeem Grant,
yeah,
that was a great trade. He's in the Pro Bowl.
From the middle to the bottom of the draft, Pace was very, very good.
Correct. But from the four top 10 picks he had,
brutal.
He missed on three.
How about
White, Trubisky, Floyd?
How about Floyd flying off the edge yesterday against Tampa?
He looks really good.
He looks lean and fast.
Yes.
Lovey would have loved him.
He got a $60-some million deal.
Lovey would have loved him. He's lean and fast.
He would fit Lovey's deal. No question.
Holy bleep.
Man. Well said. We will get more of your calls, and we'll play Shot or No Shot in exactly 2 minutes.